So anyone tired of being in lockdown? Weary of the quarantine life? Had enough of being forced into a life you didn't choose? So this would be a good Sunday to talk about the Good Shepherd, wouldn't it? We can all escape in our mind's eyes to those greener pastures with still waters and peaceful paths where life is lush and abundant and where we can, like a lamb, nestle safely into the crook of our Good Shepherd's arms. I can't begin to tell you in my 37 years of ministry how often someone has said that Psalm 23 was important to them in a time of loss, of distress, of chaos, of danger. And speaking of those times, we're in them. It's not enough that we're dealing with COVID-19 and lives are being upended. We still experience life's routine stress and grief, death of loved ones, loss of income, conflict, social instability, accidents, serious illness. So let's all wrap ourselves around with this comforting image, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And as we do, let's ask ourselves, what makes Jesus a good shepherd? Capital G, capital S. And not just an average run-of-the-mill shepherd. Why do we call Jesus' shepherding practices good? Because Jesus protects us from every harm and danger? Because he scares off every wolf and foils every thief? Because he cradles us gently, comforting and calming us that we might always live in peace? If that's why Jesus is a good shepherd, we might wonder if our shepherd is on vacation right now, or walked away from the sheep pens and gone AWOL, leaving us to fend for ourselves. No, the Good Shepherd does not guarantee either safety or comfort. Even this comforting Psalm 23 assumes hard times. It explicitly says, we will walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It says there will be times that we will find ourselves surrounded in the presence of our enemies. Life does not cease to be challenging or dangerous just because the shepherd is with us. So what makes Jesus a good shepherd? Well, one place to look for an answer to that question would be today's gospel reading that we heard from John 10. Because here Jesus spells out the metaphor in some detail. He identifies himself right off the bat as the Good Shepherd, and he paints a picture of sheep inside a sheepfold, a place to protect them overnight. The true shepherd of the sheep, that is Jesus, enters by the gate. Others show up as imposters, thieves and bandits, Jesus calls them. They don't use the gate, but climb in another way. But when the good shepherd comes to the fold, he comes in the gate. He calls the sheep by name, they recognize his voice, and he brings them out for the day and leads them wherever he wants them to go. Just a little aside, Jesus mixes his metaphors here. In John 10, he says in one place that I am the good shepherd, and at another says, I am the gate. So if anyone criticizes you for mixing metaphors, just say, that's okay, I'm just following Jesus. One image can't say it all. Jesus himself used many different images to describe himself. Here in this passage, I think Jesus the gate and Jesus the good shepherd are both saying, come into the kingdom through me, attach yourself to me, and I will lead you where you are meant to be. I thought about that and figured, well, that ties this lesson up very nicely, doesn't it? And then I found something a little unsettling. You see, we are very comfortable with the image as it appears, a sheepfold keeping us safe through the dangers of the night until our shepherd comes calling in the morning and gives a cheerful whistle or a sheep call or something, and then walks out the gate and all the sheep gladly trot after him. But there's a word in this passage that changes that picture. It's the verb that Jesus chooses for bringing them out of the sheepfold. In verse 4, it says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them and the sheep will follow him. After they are out in the open, then he gets in front of them and leads them to pasture. And by brought out, he meant shoved out. The verb Jesus uses here is ekbalo. And it's used all through the New Testament, but never in the sense of gently walking in front and saying, yoo-hoo, here we go, come along now. No, it's the same verb it used when it says that Jesus cast out an evil spirit. It's the same verb used when it says that Jesus took a whip and drove the money changers out of the temple. It's the same verb used when it says the Holy Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. Virtually everywhere this verb is used in the New Testament, it implies pushing someone somewhere they don't want to go. That is not only interesting, it is disturbing. It is upsetting to our mental image of Jesus as little Bo Peep and the sheep wagging their tails behind them. And here's the problem. We sheep, if left to our own devices, might rather prefer to stay where it's safe, secure in the sheepfold, behind sturdy walls, far from the reach of wolves and others who do us harm. But Jesus is pointing out an important truth here. As sheep, staying in the sheepfold is not where abundant life is found. Abundant life is found in coming in and going out of the gate, coming in and going out, coming in and going out, seeking nourishment where there is some risk involved. Eating only out of a feed trough in a barn will not result in strong, healthy sheep. Sheep need to graze on the same pasture land where live the wolves. So out of love for the sheep, out of a strong and fierce love for us, Jesus shoves us out of the sheepfold. Jesus is a loving shepherd, and therefore is a shoving shepherd, if you will. Jesus shoves us out from where we feel safe and secure and into a broken and dangerous world that desperately needs what God's kingdom has to offer. A world that needs the healing and reconciling and peace building and justice seeking of kingdom people. And we sheep need that too. If we are to have life and have it abundantly, to use Jesus' words, we need to live into our created purpose. We were not created to live our lives behind stone walls. We were created for an active, dynamic life in the wide open and dangerous world. So what does this mean for a people in quarantine? The answer might confuse us a little, because isn't this what all the protests are about right now? People want to break out of their cocoon of safety and explore the wide open world. Well, maybe not. It might seem that way on the surface, but I honestly wonder whether it's the opposite of that. I wonder whether for the protesters and those yearning for crowded beaches and malls and theaters and sports arenas, that the secure sheepfold is the frenzied life that was. Whether there's actually comfort in losing ourselves in a life of constant distraction. Whether the busy, striving, self-protecting, and approval-seeking life actually shields us from the wolf of self-examination. And whether the scary wilderness is being held inside our own homes in a space too close for comfort, forced to confront the darker side of ourselves, unable to prove our worth by our productivity, being more raw, exposed, and helpless. Maybe to apply this parable to our current situation, we should say that those following the shepherd into the wild and taking risks out of love for the shepherd are the ones staying home, inconveniencing themselves by choice and finding other, perhaps more difficult ways to be present with others, or the ones assuming great risk to help those in need, like first responders and health workers and grocery store employees and others who go out and serve. And then we might very well conclude that those protesting the stay-at-home orders or refusing to wear masks or crowding the beaches or taking automatic weapons into state capitol buildings, maybe in this parable, they are the ones resisting the shove of the Good Shepherd. They may be resisting the fuller life, the riskier life, of grazing in the open fields where the wolves are. Now, it remains up to each of us to apply this where it fits in our own life circumstances. You know where your sheepfold is. You know where the wild, life-giving pasture land is. The good news for today is that our loving shepherd not only shoves us out there with the grass and the wild things, that loving shepherd still walks out in front, still picks up the traumatized lamb, and still walks with us all the way to where this life will lead us. Sometimes we need to be cradled. Sometimes we need the shove. Both images are true. Both images are love. The other piece of good news here is that we are a flock. We are not solitary sheep. When one of us is overwhelmed with the wilderness, there are other sheep nearby. Right now is a time when there are many among us who need some others of us to step into the gap, to give us courage to take another step, or to hold on to life a little longer. Maybe you find yourself in the position of needing someone to hold on for you. Maybe you are the one holding on tightly on behalf of another. In either case, Maybe this song will be of some encouragement to you. Join with us in singing, please, when pain or sorrow, hold on.